Coming up on 12 noon, this is Live and Local, your connection to local music and more. I'm Kevin Kelly. I want to say first, before introducing today's show, that we have many thanks to offer to the 974 listeners who pledged more than $147,000 over the past several days to support WILL Radio's efforts to serve the region. If for some reason you didn't get a chance to make a pledge during our official drive, you can contribute online anytime at willpledge.org. That's willpledge.org. And again, thanks very much for your support of the WILO radio stations and of Live and Local. On the show today, we're actually covering a number of different events, including later in the show, the Prairie Ensemble's concert in Champaign this Saturday called the Deconstructed Orchestra. And then we'll talk with a couple of people associated with a series of presentations by the Indian guru and tabla virtuoso Pandit Suresh Talwalkar, Professor Bill Kohler, who is double bass professor and teaches improvisation and more at Illinois State University, is presenting him a number of times today and tomorrow. We'll give you that information coming up. And in the first part of the show, we have several students from St. Thomas More High School, officially called the High School of St. Thomas More, I believe, in Champaign, who are performing a play called Arsenic and Old Lace, an old-timer at the school and their teacher. And they are here to talk a bit about the show and perform a scene for us live in our studio as well. It's all coming up on today on Live and Local on FM 90.9. That's a performance by pianist Livia Rev of the very first of the many Songs Without Words by Felix Mendelssohn. And I think that still remains my favorite, although I can't claim to have heard anywhere near all of them, but of the ones I've heard, I've always liked that one. I'm Kevin Kelly. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. The show's your connection to local music and more. In the case of today, local music and theater. And in this, well, in the later portions of the show, we'll be talking about two particular occurrences. One is on the campus of Illinois State University. There's actually three presentations being given by an Indian tabla player named Suresh Talwalkar, tabla being an Indian percussion instrument. And then the later, after that, a concert that I will actually be conducting by the Prairie Ensemble this weekend in Champaign. Don't think I'll interview myself, but kind of that'll be the effect of that. First part of the show, though, I've got all these folks in our studio with us, students from the High School of St. Thomas More in Champaign. They're presenting the old play called Arsenic and Old Lace, which I remember hearing about when I was a kid, although I've never seen the play, nor have I ever seen the movie. I guess I got to remedy that at some point. Their teacher is with them, Amy Stock, who's also directing the play. So thank you all for coming in.
Thank you.
Amy, I want to ask you first. I guess I should call you Ms. Stock, Mrs. Stock.
Miss.
What are they? Ms. Stock?
Miss, yes, that's fine.
Is that an MS or an MISS?
MISS is fine.
Okay. I assume that's what the students call you?
Yes.
Well, then I better have. But I'm sure they knew your first name anyway.
Yes.
Yeah, that's how
especially my
go.
Son.
Yeah, and he just calls you Mom or other things that you'd rather not hear.
Yeah,
about.
We'll not say that on the radio.
Okay. Right. So why Arsenic and Old Lace?
Because it's one of the just delightful old comedies in American canon of theater. And another very practical reason, I've been in it twice in my life, once in high school and once in my professional life. So I know the show quite well. It's got a lot of interesting characters, a very fun storyline, and very fitting for around the Halloween time of year. And I thought it would be just a great introduction to the straight play for St. Thomas More. We've not really done a straight production. It's mostly the musical in the spring, although there has been the senior project. Now this year we're opening it up to all grade levels and practicing our straight plays.
You've been at the school yourself. How long?
This is my first year, actually. So I've only been working with the school since about June or July.
And you referred to your professional experience. What were mm-hmm. you doing professionally before you were here?
Well, I have been an actress for most of my career. I have an undergrad degree in theater, and I have a master's degree in theater history, and I'm currently working on my PhD in theater history at the U of I. I've also been a professional actress in Hollywood for about 20 years before I moved here, doing mostly film and TV.
Things we've heard of?
Yeah. well, sometimes some of my work is quite old when I was much younger, but I guess the most popular were Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, the two feature films.
And who were you in there?
I played Missy slash Mom. And it's fun when I'm also a teacher out at Parkland. And when I tell my film students about that, their eyes just bug out and they can't believe they're being taught by Missy.
Yeah, how about that? Well, I have to confess I've seen neither of those movies.
That's fine. You have something to rent this weekend.
And I know that the first one in particular has gotten to be really quite a classic,
I think, in
modern times, I guess mm-hmm. we could call it. So why go from there to teaching high school?
Well, I'm teaching actually all levels. As I said, I'm teaching the high school students. I'm also teaching out at Parkland College. I also counsel law students at the Law College on U of I in courtroom body language, voice technique, personal opening and closing statement, courtroom persona. And then I'm also teaching out at OLLI, the Osher Lifelong Learning Center. I have a class of citizens out there, and we're talking about theater all semester, and we're going to see the plays at Krannert Center.
You were going to say senior citizens, but you swallowed that.
I did.
Because it's 50 plus, but since I know some of these 50 plus people, I love to refer to them as senior citizens.
I am one of those 50 plus people, so I like to refer to them just as citizens.
I will be in a couple of years. That's going to be an event. But that's not the topic of today's show. Arsenic and Old Lace. I don't know the play, so I'm not sure who is there such a thing as the lead character, or is it more of an ensemble thing?
It is definitely an ensemble piece, and that's the way I'd like to present it as, especially when I work with a group of young, eager students. We all need to feel a part of the ensemble. And there are no small parts, there are only small actors, the old adage. But in this piece, mainly it revolves around the two Brewster sisters, Abby and Martha, and their three nephews, Mortimer, Jonathan, and Teddy, and how they all live and work together and things that happen during the course of a weekend. And there are also other parts, Elaine and Dr. Harper and Dr. Einstein and the three officers that we have, O'Hara, Rooney, and Brophy. And they're just wonderful. Each character is a character. There is not just one straight person who walks in. I mean, Mr. Gibbs gets run out of the house because he's about to drink poison wine. And then we have Mr. Witherspoon, who's our last fatal victim, who comes in. And poor Danny, we always refer to Danny, come on, it's time to get up and get killed at the end of the play. But so we like to think of it as an ensemble piece, definitely.
And so I assume we don't want to give away the whodunit at the end, right?
No, you have to come see the play.
Yeah, so who of the people sitting here, who is the most evil character? Is there one?
That would be the one giving you the evil grin right now. That's Tommy Howie. He plays Jonathan Brewster. He's one of the nephews.
Jonathan Brewster. Okay, then answer this question for me. What's the plot of the show?
You know, I'd love to tell you the plot of the show, so I'll do that. okay, so there's...
Do you know the plot of the show?
I do know the plot of the show.
Thank you.
You're probably being graded as as this goes on.
Okay, well, there are two Spencer sisters, Abby and Martha, who live in Brooklyn, and everyone thinks they're the sweetest, you know, most charming old ladies in the world. They have their peculiarities, which you'll find out if you come see the show. And they have a nephew, Mortimer, who is a dramatic critic. He's, the quote-unquote normal one, which you'll also understand if you come see the show. They have another nephew, Teddy, who thinks he's Teddy Roosevelt. And they have Jonathan, who's the nephew that's not talked about so much. He's the kind of the embarrassment of the family.
That would be you.
That would be me, yes. Proud. I was the kind of boy who liked to cut worms into with his teeth.
Typecasting, so, by yes. the way. Just kidding.
Aw, shucks. So it's the plot. Everything seems normal, but one thing after another just makes everything sort of spiral out of control. It's very comical. It's very spoof Halloween, very appropriate. So everything is not really as it seems in the Brewster House.
And people get killed.
People get killed, yes. Lots of people get killed.
And arsenic is?
Poison.
That yeah.
They, yeah.
I know what arsenic is.
I'm sorry. That's
but that's, I mean, the title in there, you know, right. gives some indication of at least the means of death of, I presume, at least one of them.
Oh, about 13 by the end of the show.
Okay. So, I want to go back kind of to my first question for Ms. Stock, another version of it, except for any of you that wants to answer it, and that is why arsenic and old lace? It seems that most high schools right now are doing the more contemporary musicals. We're actually going to be talking with and hearing some performances from the drama group at Champaign Central High School, which is doing mm-hmm. Sweeney Todd, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Another good one for Halloween mm-hmm. in very different ways.
Which our students would love to do.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So how are you taking to this play that isn't a musical, first of all, and that is it's a pretty old play? This would be Kent Schlorf who has raised his hand.
I feel like I'm still in school. Well, for me, this play was an awesome experience to build up my acting ability because as far as musicals and theater go, I'm decidedly more musical, so I wanted to take this time to develop the theatrical portion of my repertoire. And the nice thing was that before I auditioned, I had actually seen the movie of Arsenic and Old Lace, courtesy of Tommy over there, my good friend.
The evil Jonathan.
Mm-hmm. His mom had us watch Arsenic and Old Lace, and I remember thinking the style of humor in it is just so great. It's all based around dramatic irony, the audience knowing more than the actual cast does. So it all accumulates in this wonderful, just, there's a wonderful resolve at the end of the third act, but then there's just this last little thing, and it's just, it's like the cherry on top of the cupcake. It's perfect.
I haven't heard that one before.
Cherry on top of the cupcake.
Well, that works.
Cream.
It's whatever you like. That works. I thought you were about to give away that little secret thing, mm-hmm. but certainly glad you didn't. Others of you reacting to doing this particular play?
Ladies?
Well, this has been my favorite play since I saw it performed when I was in middle school. And the best thing about this play is Mary, who plays Abby, and Martha, is that we're best friends anyway, so we had this pre-existing relationship as sisters, and it just works so well on stage. We don't even have to try it, sharing looks and finding things funny together.
They even pick up each other's lines, which is unbelievable. They have an amazing rapport together.
That's great, and that's Julia Morris was speaking in the role of Martha, and Mary was Mary Simakowski, which I apparently had said okay. In the role of Abby. And do you share Julia's feeling about this, Mary?
Oh, definitely, no. This has been amazing and just it's a really fun play, and it really fits, like, I think the whole cast sense of humor.
So who's in the Cary Grant character from the film?
That is Kent. Playing
that's
Mortimer.
Kent as Mortimer. Mm-hmm. And I'll ask Dr. Einstein this, Bobby Poynton. How does he stack up to Cary Grant?
Make sure you answer the question correctly.
Well, I actually have not seen either the movie or the play. I kind of went into these auditions completely blind. But from the first day of rehearsal up until now, Kent has definitely developed a very interesting and very funny character. There's so many parts in the play where it's just, you know, something funny is going to happen to Kent because he just kind of gets this look on his face. But, yeah, he's definitely developed his own style in the show, and for all of us, it's just been a really great opportunity. Like, there's Jonathan by Tommy Howie, who's just, like, this evil guy. There's me. I'm kind of, like, the sniveling assistant to Jonathan. The two aunts are just, like, these really cute old spinster sisters, and just all the characters in the play have these really complex characters, and it was just a great opportunity for us to be able to explore those characters and kind of build up our theatrical, I don't really know the word of it, our theatrical
resume.
Persona almost.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was one of the reasons that I wanted to do a straight play. They do a great musical every spring. It's always been traditionally just a wonderful thing, but a lot of students who don't audition for the musical because they feel they aren't singers or don't want to be in a musical really don't have an opportunity to be on stage then. So that was my main thing, was bringing in a straight play that we could all, if you weren't going to audition for the musical, you wanted to be, try your hand at some kind of drama, then this is your opportunity. And that's what we decided to do, and I wanted a comedy to start us off with.
So these folks aren't going to be in the musical? Is that,
well, some of them might. I don't know. We're doing Godspell, by the way, in March. That is our spring musical planned, and everyone's welcome to audition, but a lot of times, as I said, students don't want to be in a musical, so this gives them an opportunity to be on stage.
Particularly if they aren't singers.
Exactly.
Because that can intimidate certain people. I love this word spinster. ladies, what does it mean to you to be a spinster?
Well, we never got married, and we kind of live in a secluded house, kind of, when we have a sort of circle of our minister and our nephews, but we never were going out and dating ever, I don't think ever in our lives.
No. We basically run charity operations out of our house,
yeah.
And that's what we've decided to do with our lives, raise our nephews to some extent and take care of them, and it's, yeah.
So the charity operations, do they figure into this story somehow or another?
Oh, yes. Very well.
Yeah, so I imagine they're rather interesting charities. Okay, well, I'm getting intrigued to see the play, and I happen to know that you actually brought a scene to do from it. Does this involve all five of you?
Yes, it does.
Okay, who wants to set up? Before I ask that question, let me just, for listeners who are just tuning in, say that you are indeed listening to Live and Local on FM 90.9. I'm Kevin Kelly, and we're talking with students and one teacher from the High School of St. Thomas More in Champaign. They are performing Joseph Kesselring's play, Arsenic and Old Lace, written way back in 1939, but it's going to be performed a number of times this weekend. We'll get the times and how do you get tickets if you want to get tickets and so on. And the character, the actors here are Kent Schlorf in the role of Mortimer, Bobby Poynton is Dr. Einstein, Tommy Howie is the evil Jonathan, Julia Morris and Mary Simakaski are the spinsters, Martha and Abby, respectively. Amy Stock is their teacher and director. So, who wants to set up the scene for us?
Okay. Bobby, why don't you do it?
Okay. Well, at this point in the play, it's kind of, this is the beginning of Act 3. It's just kind of reached the climax of the whole show.
Actually, it's the end of Act 2, sweetheart.
Okay, end of Act 2.
This is why you picked on your son to answer this question.
Yeah, I want to see how much you learned.
She wants to test me. Yeah, but this is basically the whole plot has just kind of come together. You just kind of realize the whole conflict that's been going on in the house, and it's this really comical bit at the end between the two Brewster sisters and Mia's Dr. Einstein and Jonathan, and it's I can't really tell the whole thing without giving it away too much, but it's just a lot. It's a really funny scene that just kind of, you finally understand what's been going on in the house.
Okay.
Have they gone yet? Oh dear, we thought we heard somebody leave.
Just Mortimer, and he'll be back in a few minutes. Is there any food left in the refrigerator? I think Dr. Einstein and I would enjoy a bite.
But you won't have any time.
Oh no, if you have to hear when Mortimer gets back, he won't like it.
Oh, he'll like it. He's gotta like it.
Please get some food for us while we bury Mr. Spinalzo in the cellar.
Oh no.
Oh no, Jonathan, you can't bury him in our cellar. You have to take him with you.
There's a friend of Mortimer's waiting down there for him right now.
A friend of Mortimer's?
He and Mr. Spinalzo will get along fine together. They're both dead.
They must mean Mr. Hoskins.
Mr. Hoskins?
You know about what's down in the cellar?
Of course we do, but he's no friend of Mortimer's. He's one of our gentlemen.
Your gentleman?
Yes, and we won't have any strangers buried in our cellar.
But Mr. Hoskins...
Mr. Hoskins isn't a stranger.
Now, Jonathan, you have to take him with you. There is no room in him for our cellar.
What could the cellar possibly be crowded with?
Why, there are 12 graves down there now.
12?
12 graves?
Yes, and that leaves very little room, and we're going to need it.
You mean you and Aunt Martha have murdered?
Murdered? Certainly not. It's one of our charities.
Why, what we've been doing is a mercy.
So you just take your Mr. Spinelzo and get out.
You've done that here in this house, and you've buried them in the cellar.
Johnny, we've been chased all over the world. These two stay right here in Brooklyn and do just as good a job as you.
What?
Well, I mean, you got 12 and they got 12.
I've got 13.
No, Johnny, you got 12.
13. There's Mr. Spinelzo, then the one in London, the two in Johannesburg, the one in Melbourne, the one in Sydney, the one in Phoenix, Arizona.
Phoenix?
The filling station.
Oh.
The two in Chicago, the three in San Francisco, and the one in South Bend. That makes 13.
No, Johnny, you can't count the one in South Bend. He died in pneumonia.
He wouldn't have died of pneumonia if I hadn't shot him.
No, Johnny, he don't count.
He counts with me. I say 13.
No, Johnny, you got 12, and they got 12. The old ladies are just as good as you.
Oh, they are they? Well, that's easily taken care of. All I need is one more, that's all. Just one more.
Well, here I am.
And that ends Act Two.
So Mortimer gets one line in that scene. I was
wondering, but it's a killer line.
It's a killer line. Yeah. That was an intentional pun. Okay, well, these are students from the High School of St. Thomas More in Champaign performing a scene for you from Arsenic and Old Lace, which is going to be performed when?
The opening night is tomorrow, Thursday, and we play Friday and Saturday. The doors open at 6:30, and the show starts at 7 o'clock. The tickets are, I believe, $5 for seniors and adults, or students, excuse me, and $7 for adults, and they're available at the door. And Friday night, we have a talk back with our actors after the show so that the audience can stay afterwards and talk with the actors about the process of putting on this show.
Okay, so can you get tickets in advance or just show up and that's the
No, we don't have any line reservation yet. We're trying to work for that for our upcoming Madrigal Feast, which is in December. So we're trying to get that in place. But for this show, you just come to the door, buy a ticket, and you're in.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for coming in. Thank you for doing a little radio radio play for us.
Thank you very, very much. Thank you.
It's our pleasure. Coming up on Live and Local, we have a conversation with Professor Bill Kohler from Illinois State University, who is collaborating with and presenting Pandit Suresh Talwalkar from India, who is a master tabla player and guru as well. They have events today and tomorrow, we'll tell you about. And then later on, a conversation about the Prairie Ensemble's concert in Champaign this Saturday evening. It's Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our show is made possible in part by the Prairie Ensemble, presenting the Deconstructed Orchestra at 7:30 p.m. this Saturday, October 24th at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. The eclectic program will include a guest appearance by bandoneon virtuoso Julian Labro in music by Astor Piazzolla. Ticket information is at prairieensemble.org. That was the opening movement from this. Excuse me there, forgot to turn that down. From the so-called Nannerl Septet by Mozart, a divertimento in D major, his Kirkel 251. It's called the Nannerl Septet because it was written for Mozart's sister's name day. His sister's nickname was Nannerl. We heard it performed by the Berlin Philharmonic, conducted by Claudio Abbado, and you can hear a performance of that divertimento as the opening work on a program this Saturday evening in Champaign by the Prairie Ensemble. It'll be performed, however, one instrument on a part, hence the septet part, seven players. that in part of a program that's called the Deconstructed Orchestra, which we will talk about later on this show. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Our broadcast made possible with support from Owen's Funeral Home, located at the corner of Elman University in the historic Trivet Mansion across from Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Owen's Funeral Home, owned and operated by the Owens family since 1925, invites you to join them in supporting public radio. Pandit Suresh Talwalkar, one of the great exponents of the tabla, a percussion instrument in India, and very well known and respected, revered by some in the field of Indian classical music, is going to be making three presentations between today and tomorrow on the campus of Illinois State University in Normal. Tonight from 6 to 8, there is a clinic, which is a paid event, and you'll hear more about that in just a moment. And then two free events tomorrow at 11 o'clock in the morning, the Convocation in the Center for the Performing Arts, and then a 2 o'clock clinic for composition students. All of these are actually open to the public. And the person who is bringing Pandit Talwalkar to the campus is Professor William Kohler, who teaches double bass there, as well as improvisation and more. And I talked with him earlier this morning and just asked him initially how he got interested in this kind of music and in doing collaborations with Indian performers.
Well, yeah, I'm a New York City a native originally, and there was a nice Indian radio station in Manhattan. And when I was 20 years old, I listened to that, and that music was always interesting. I always wanted to find a tabla player to play with. And then I met Manpreet Bedi with a singer, and they needed somebody to play some solos and things in between vocal interludes, and that's where it started. And the two of us kind of looked at each other and said, well, we've got to certainly have to get together, and it's a melding of two cultures, which is quite a bit of a challenge to play in all of these different meters. And really the importance is for both cultures to go to each other rather than just playing Western music with a cool tabla beat over it. So that wasn't our intention at all. And we made a CD about 3 years back called Vandana, Journey Together, and it got some rave reviews and London Double Bassist Magazine and the International Society of Bassist Magazines. They liked it very much, and we're very proud of it as well. So it's a lot of work and one that's very much worth doing. And our visitor now, Pandit Suresh Talwalkar, an extraordinary musician, extraordinary teacher, that he can show us many things, and really the Western musician needs to hear this. It's the 21st century. How long will we have to hear this incessant 4/4 beat that they put anything on top of? So that's my story.
Before starting some of these collaborations, what would you say was your own strongest focus, musically speaking, as a performer?
Well, I was trained classically, got my doctorate at Indiana University, and classical and jazz. Jazz was my other area. I always played jazz. That got me to music in the first place. Rock and roll first, of course, but then you realize you need more of a vocabulary, and then jazz was the one that motivated me. And then now when we start to study classical music, and music of the world, we recognize how all of the elements can interact in many different ways, and it presents a good lifelong work to pursue those things.
In your teaching at ISU, how do you incorporate some of what you're just talking about into your classes for your students?
Well, I teach applied double bass, and I teach also psychology of music, a graduate class where those conceptual ideas are always there. That motivates me very much to know how our universe is structured and all of those kind of ideas. We also might have a composition through improvisation class from time to time. We had one last year going all year long where students would work on a lot of these kind of patterns. The one, for instance, was a five pattern that could be transmitted to different types of meters. So da-di-ginnadum is five, da-di-ginnadum is six, da-di-ginnadum is seven, da-di-ginnadum is eight, da-di-ginnadum is nine, and so on. So you've got a five-note motive that people could practice and then yet get free with many of the different types of motivic development in different meter.
And how did you meet, is it proper to call him Pandit Talwalkar? Is that how?
Yeah, that's great. Yeah.
And what does the Pandit mean?
Well, that means that he is acclaimed by the system of measuring someone's training. You know, when you've reached the top of your training, then you earn the title of Pandit.
So it's an honorific of sorts.
Yeah, and also, you know, based on your training, yes.
Okay,
that
I see.
You've got rigorous testing to accomplish and so on, you know.
And so how did you meet him?
Through Manny. That's Manny's guru. And mm-hmm. And you know, incidentally, there's another flutist who visited here last year, and Suresh also visited here last year as well. Ranu Majumdar is a wonderful flute player and bamboo flute player. He gave a concert, and I said I would love to study with him, and he didn't come right away. And he said, well, when I come next time, I will make sure that I share with you what my guru taught me. And so he is a very accomplished musician, you know, and it's beyond... there's no kind of ego involvement here. It's necessary that everybody share the music, and so just like a coach and a top athlete from, let's say, Olympic athlete, they need a coach. The coach helps them to think in many different ways, to pursue different ideas. That's a lifelong process. And so that it turns out that Ranu Majumdar was talking about Pandit Talwalkar. That was the guru that he wanted to share the information with.
So it all comes around, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. It does.
Okay, and briefly, a rundown of the events that he's going to be involved in the next couple of days at ISU.
Okay, yeah. Tonight is an opportunity for visiting people to come and see it, and I think it's $40 for anyone who wants to, outside of ISU, who wants to come and participate in this. I recommend totally highly that we will not experience this type of training every day, and for Western musicians, it's a must. It's an eye-opener. And so at 6 to 8 tonight in Cook Hall 308, we have a clinic, and that would be $40 for non-ISU people. Then on Thursday, tomorrow, at 11 o'clock is that convocation open to everyone, whoever wants to come. It is in CPA, the Center for the Performing Arts, on the campus of ISU, at 11 o'clock from 11 to 12. And then there's another issue, another time, for the composition students, and again, open to everybody else who wants to come to it, in Centennial Building Room 224. That's from 2 o'clock until maybe 3:30 or so.
On Thursday.
Right.
That was Professor William Kohler at Illinois State University talking about Pandit Suresh Talwalkar from India, giving a couple of clinics and a convocation, and perhaps including some performing there as well. This is Live and Local on FM 90.9. Because of his thorough knowledge of Indian classical music in general and the tabla in particular, Sureshji, as he is honorifically known, is invited by institutions like Illinois State and many others for these lecture demonstrations and workshops. And I did have a chance to talk with him also just after speaking with Professor Kohler, and just asked him, for those of us who are not well-versed in Indian classical music, what is tabla?
It's a percussion instrument, tabla. It's like drum, you know. And we have tabla bass drum, we use for baya, we say, and right hand drum, we say tabla. So altogether, we call tabla together. And we use tabla with three aspects. Gitam means vocal, gayan means vocal, vadyam means tanto, instrument, and nrityam means dance, kathak dance. So we use this instrument, tabla, as an accompanying instrument with all the three aspects.
And you have done a lot of work, I understand, with not only as tabla as an accompaniment instrument, but also as a solo instrument, right?
Yeah, because this instrument also is the solo instrument, because we have in tabla, there are six schools. One is Delhi school, another is Ajrada school, another is Farakabad school, fourth is Lucknow school, fifth is Banaras, and sixth is Punjab school. So we have six schools. We have own techniques of every schools, own material. We have every schools, own presentations from the different schools, and thought concept is there. So altogether, these are four aspects from every schools. So tabla has a huge language and huge rhythmic forms, and every form has thousands compositions, and each compositions we can make several hundreds improvisation. So we have such a large language, like a dha, dhagati, takar, dhati, dhage, nagati, nakatr, kratak, dhatr, kratak, dhati, nakat, dhagratak, detta, detta, detta. So these have language. It has no concrete meaning, but it's an abstract meaning altogether, rhythmic. Abstract meaning, and there is a definitely way how to play. That's we call technique, and it comes under the nikas. We say nikas. Nikas means how to play particular compositions.
In some of your performances, you use those vocalizations along with the tabla, right?
Yes, yes, yes. I have commercial CDs recordings. Well, in these countries, many places they have this. In this Western music, in jazz music, you know, drum solo tabla player, they use music also with solo playing. And in India, we use only particular beats melody. We use melody of particular beats, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever cycle, 16 beats or 10 beats or 7 beats. We use only one melody, but I use a composition, musical composition, I use for the my solo. So this has been, nobody has done this, but I am the person, I started this to take vocal accompaniment.
Pandit Suresh Talwalkar speaking with me earlier this morning from Illinois State University, where he is visiting courtesy of invitation of Professor Bill Kohler, and giving a couple of clinics at ISU. The first one is tonight from 6 to 8. That is the paid event, but it is open to the public in Cook Hall on the ISU campus. And then tomorrow, the convocation for students and anybody else who wants to come. That's at 3 o'clock, from 11 to 12 at the Center for the Performing Arts. And then another clinic in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. That is specifically for composition students, but is also open to the public. And for more information, you can, I suspect you can contact Professor Kohler directly. His email is wkkohl@ilstu.edu, or you can just go to the Illinois State University website and find the College of Fine Arts and go to the events calendar, and you'll find these various events as well. And I'm sure you can get directions from somewhere on there. This is Live and Local. I'm Kevin Kelly. And I want to give a quick calendar of not only those events, but a number of others happening in the next few days. Tonight at 8 o'clock, and for the rest of the week as well, at the Station Theater in Urbana, My Name is Rachel Corey. It's a one-woman show. That's at 8 o'clock tonight. Donnie Heitler is performing solo jazz piano at the Great Impasta, as he does every Wednesday, I believe, at 6 o'clock. That is in Urbana. There is the weekly traditional Irish music session in downtown Champaign at Bentley's Pub. That's at 7 o'clock tonight. Woody Woodward's organ trio is at the Iron Post in downtown Urbana. That is at 5 o'clock tonight. Then tomorrow is opening night for Jekyll and Hyde put on by the Champaign-Urbana Theater Company, the musical. That's at the Virginia Theater in downtown Champaign, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 7:30, and a Sunday matinee at 2:30. Amasong, Champaign-Urbana's premier lesbian feminist chorus, is performing tomorrow at noon, a free program at the Mills Breast Cancer Institute at Carl Clinic on University Avenue in Urbana. That's their weekly concert series. Another free noontime recital is by the Graduate Saxophone Quartet at the University of Illinois. That's at the Beckman Institute Atrium tomorrow at 12:15 on the U of I campus. The Werewolf's Curse, or Hair Today and Gone Tomorrow, is a play being put on by the students at Muhammad Seymour High School Thursday and Friday. And I don't think they do go into Saturday. All those performances at 7:30. And finally, I'll pick the Eastern Illinois University Music, Theater, and Opera programs are presenting One Acts and Scenes in the Doudna Fine Arts Center in Charleston. That's Thursday night at 7:30. There's many other things going on as well, including a recital by the Illinois State University Faculty String Quartet tomorrow night. And we will have, as part of tomorrow's Live and Local, conversation with their violist, Catherine Lewis, and a little bit about that recital as well. And I should have mentioned earlier, since we were speaking with Pandit Talwalkar, the tabla player, that on tomorrow's show, we will have live performances by a number of Indian classical musicians, part of the Rhythm and Rag Society at the University of Illinois. They will be performing at tomorrow night's ACE Awards ceremony, sponsored by 40 North, 88 West, the Champaign County Cultural Council, Arts Council. Those ACE Awards are for arts, culture, and entertainment. And so those live performances by Indian musicians, including a tabla player. So if you wondered what exactly the tabla sounds like, since I didn't have any of that music today, tune in tomorrow from noon till about 12:40, and we'll have those performers, including a vocalist. So now on Live and Local, I get to be both host and interviewee. I'm not going to ask myself questions, but offer this disclaimer, I guess, that I am the conductor of the Prairie Ensemble, which is giving a concert Saturday night at 7:30 at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. And wanted to share a little bit about that program and also sample some music from it. In fact, we'll begin with a sample. This is on the first half of the show. It's the opening movement of the septet in E-flat 4, a combination of piano, trumpet, violins, viola, cello, and bass by Camille Saint-Saëns, performed here by members of the Nash Ensemble. The opening movement of Camille Saint-Saëns' Septet in E-flat, performed here by members of the Nash Ensemble in the Prairie Ensemble's performance on Saturday evening in Champaign. The featured performers are trumpeter Nicholas Del Villano and pianist Deborah Suter, and it's quite a strenuous piano part there. It's a four-movement piece, wonderful piece. It's a discovery that I made courtesy of this position at WYLL, where we have recordings of lots of music that doesn't typically get live performances very often. That's certainly one of them. And I constructed the program for Saturday night, which is called The Deconstructed Orchestra. I actually borrowed that title from a friend of mine, one of our bassoonists in the ensemble, Terry Meyer. But we're using it in this case to mean that we've sort of disassembled the orchestra as a whole and are putting it back together in little pieces. So there's seven pieces on the program, each of them for a very different kind of chamber ensemble, ranging from 5 to 11 players. And we'll be featuring in one of those, and also at our halftime presentation, the wonderful bandoneon virtuoso who was actually on Live and Local several weeks ago demonstrating his instrument, which is an Argentinian accordion. Julian Labro, he's coming down from the Detroit area to perform some music by Astor Piazzolla with us, both as part of the program and at the halftime, where we will also have some members of the CU Tango group dancing to Piazzolla, a little choreography by three couples in doing some tango as part of the concert. And also on there, some music by Heitor Villa-Lobos, very atmospheric work, and I will leave it at that, by an American composer called Ingram Marshall. It's called Fog Tropes. And music by Mozart that we played earlier on the show. And also, wrapping things up, I think this is a really neat piece by an American composer named Clark McAllister, who is involved with a group called Chamber Music Palm Beach. And his composition, Lose Mountain Bread, which plays on a number of different American folk tunes. The opening movement of Lose Mountain Bread, based on American folk tunes by Clark McAllister, performed here by Chamber Music Palm Beach. You can hear the entire five-movement work performed by the members of the Prairie Ensemble Saturday evening at 7:30 at Faith United Methodist Church in Champaign. There's a pre-concert conversation at 7 o'clock, and pre-concert box dinners are also available by calling the Prairie Ensemble office. It's area 217-355-9077. Or you can get full information online and buy your tickets there at prairieensemble.org. I'm Kevin Kelly, conductor of the program and conductor of that concert, and also host here of Live and Local. And I thank you for joining me today. Our programs today made possible by Parkland Art Gallery at Parkland College. The gallery's exhibits illustrate a wide range of traditional and innovative work by contemporary artists of regional and national status. Exhibitions and educational programs are offered free of charge to the public. It'll be partly to mostly sunny this afternoon, the high near 70, mostly cloudy tonight, the low 52. Cloudy tomorrow with a chance of showers early, then periods of rain and possibly thunderstorms in the afternoon, the high 62. This is WYLL FM and HD Urbana, operating translators W293 AF Danville and W266 AF Urbana.